Pelagianism, Gnosticism, Valentinians, Corpocratians, Docetics, Montanists, Arianism, Modernism, the New Age. Heresies throughout the ages have rocked the church. But the church has always fought back and won. Hear how next on Scandal of the Cross with Bob and Penny Lord.
Hello, family, and welcome. Today we want to share with you New Age through a shattered mirror. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Before the fall, our world was meant to be a Garden of Eden. After our redemption by Jesus, it was supposed to be a New Jerusalem. However, Satan, the master of deceit and perversion, takes the beauty the Lord visualized for us, the life and world he would have for us, and reworks it, but masks the change so that what we see is just the slightest deformed resemblance of God's vision for his children. We call that twisted image New Age.
We look at the New Age philosophy and see Christianity through a shattered mirror, a warped parallel universe, much like Alice in Wonderland's topsy-turvy world. If you examine any aspect of Christianity through the misshapen image of a shattered mirror, you will find things that are remotely recognizable, and yet everything looks alien, unfamiliar, bizarre, as if it were twisted out of proportion. That is part of what New Age is. You keep on saying to yourself, it's almost like what we believe in. For instance, we believe in God, they believe in ascended masters. We believe in angels, they believe in spirit guides. We believe in resurrection, they believe in reincarnation. We believe in being born again of the Holy Spirit, they believe in the law of rebirth. But then we believe the snake is a symbol of Satan, they believe the snake is godlike. We believe 666 is demonic. They believe 666 is a religious symbol. We believe man is created in the image of God. They believe man created God in his own image. It's a distortion of the truth. It's almost like a parallel world.
New Age claims that every 2,000 years we enter into a new age, ergo the name New Age. The 2,000-year period before Jesus, that of the Old Testament, is referred to as the Age of the Bull. These last 2,000 years are called the Age of Pisces. According to the New Age philosophy, we will enter into the Age of Aquarius in 1997. They claim that each new age brings with it a new Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah of the Age of Pisces. The New Age Messiah is called Lord Maitreya. According to New Ages, Jesus is history, Maitreya is in. We Catholics maintain we are going into a new age, but the age of the Eucharist, and into the end times for the New Age movement, Satan's last, most desperate, and deadliest attack on the Church. This compilation of heresies was formulated to systematically seduce God's people as it set out to confuse the average person and at the same time appeal to the pride factor of the pseudo-intellectual.
Make no mistake about it. The New Age movement is a religion, complete with its own Bibles, prayers, and mantras, Vatican City / Jerusalem equivalents, priests and gurus, born-again experiences, they call it rebirthing, spiritual laws and commandments, psychics and prophets, and nearly every indicia of religion. One major contradiction of New Age is that it's not new at all. New Age in its most basic form, pantheism and pride, goes back to the Garden of Eden when it was used by Satan to tempt Eve into eating the forbidden fruit in Genesis. Remember when he said, "You will not die. God knows in fact that on the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil."
Pride has been Satan's most effective weapon against man since the beginning of time. He used pride on Eve. Eve ate the fruit. The rest is history. Pride is also one of Satan's major hooks in reeling in victims to the New Age movement. Expressions like, "You are superior," "You are enlightened," "You are one of the specially chosen," and "It's not for everyone, only the intellectual few," are among the catchphrases commonly used when reeling in the fish into its movement. not knowing what we do about, now knowing what we do about Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the snake, call him what you like. Do you really think he wanted Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of the forbidden fruit because he liked them? Do you think he wanted to be best friends with them? Do you think he wanted them to be gods? Not really. The most likely scenario is that he fully intended to drag them down into the bowels of hell. He wanted to show God up, his pride, to prove that he was better than God, his envy.
New Age appeals to all the seven deadly sins. At a glance, it would seem that these seven capital sins, pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth, would constitute a New Age manifesto, much as the Ten Commandments comprises our rules of Judeo-Christian behavior. In addition to pride, which is how it hooks its disciples initially, there is also envy. Envy is a major tool of New Age groups. New Age has taken so many forms over the centuries. The list is endless. Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism. From the end of the Middle Ages to the French Revolution, movements such as Renaissance, the Age of Enlightenment, the Age of Reason were all strong precursors of New Age.
Some of the more modern versions include, but are not limited to, yoga and transcendental meditation, feminism, and Wicca witchcraft. When one name goes out of vogue, new, slicker, better packaged, sugar-coated terms are invented. Today we have high-tech pseudonyms like the New Spirituality, Creation Spirituality, Secular Humanism, Third Wave, Holistic Movement, Transpersonal Psychology, Planetary People, Centering Prayer, Enneagrams, all very cerebral, all very chic, all engineered to lead you gently down the primrose path to hell. New Age is designed to allure many and betray all.
St. Paul was truly inspired. He saw it coming and warned us about this cult 2,000 years ago in Colossians 2:8. In this warning, Paul in the first century gives us the most encompassing definition of New Age. See to it that no one deceive you through any empty, seductive philosophy that follows mere human traditions, a philosophy based on cosmic powers rather than on Christ.
New Age is designed to lead astray, tempt, entice the proud, promising what it can't deliver, power and divinity. The New Age movement recruits members by appealing to the sensual, the animal tendencies within its victims. People with obsessions for sex and the need to justify these obsessions are perfect candidates for New Age. Just think of it. You can take part in any perverted act, and it's a religious experience, part of your religion. As a matter of fact, those who frown on illicit sex, especially homosexual activities, are condemned as being neurotic and psychotic. They've even coined a new term, homophobia, designed to harass and intimidate. There is no definition in the dictionary for homophobia. The word doesn't exist, and yet it's the latest rage for New Agers. Their definition of it is, if you don't approve of homosexual activities in any way, it's your problem, you're homophobic. They insist there's nothing wrong with homosexuality or homosexual behavior, you're the problem. We have heard that the best defense is a good offense, but this is ridiculous. They further contend if you have an aversion of any kind regarding homosexuals, it's because you're repressing homosexual tendencies in yourself. It's the most deceptive, manipulative, dishonest scheme we've ever seen. Where do we go from here? How about adultery phobia or euthanasia phobia? The possibilities are endless.
Basically, anything that is frowned on by society is acceptable with New Age. Anything that is respected by society at large is objectionable to New Age. New Age is a distortion of Christianity. It champions attempts to take microcosms of our faith belief and distort them, twist them, stretch them, turn them upside down, inside out. It can lead to great confusion, and they count on that. It's about weakening or destroying our belief in the concept of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. New Age is out to destroy Catholicism from without and within, but mostly from within. Sadly, a significant number of proponents of the fostering of New Age are by and large members of the Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish churches. New Age will betray all of them. Right now, New Age is extremely anti-Semitic. In addition, Christianity has no place in the New World movement in its present form. They'll keep the shell, but the guts have to go.
New Age teaches that man is divine. The definition of pantheism is that each of us is God. There is no personal God in heaven. God is within us and all things. That's why you'll hear people saying God is everywhere. He's in the trees, in the sand, at the beach. The term God, immanent, means that God is diffused in his creation. Creation is diffused in God. He's not in heaven, he's out there, a part of everything. A classic explanation of creation according to Confucius, 5th century BC, was that the world started with nothing. After a long time of nothing, something appeared. Out of something, Panku evolved. No one knows how long Panku lived, but when he died, his last groan became the thunder, and his last breath became the wind. His left eye became the sun, and his right eye the moon. The blood of his veins became the river, his hair the forest, and his flesh became the earth. Sounds familiar, like immanence, the New Age belief, weird. But there has always been something that neither New Age nor the monkey trial Darwin evolutionists or Confucius can explain satisfactorily. Where did it come from? Where did it begin? How did nothing become something? Nothing becoming something from nothing is against the God of science they worship.
Secular humanists claim humans are responsible for what we are or will become. No deity will save us. We will save ourselves. Yeah, right. Rosemary Ruther, Catholic theologian of the feminist movement, states, "Nobody can save the world by themselves. The only way you can save the world is by all of us together." Two people can't agree. We believe that God created everything. It is true that everything is created in the image and likeness of God, but that doesn't mean everything is God. We believe in the I Am of Yahweh rather than the We Are. If you look at the track record of the people of God, that's us, in salvation history, we haven't done very well at all. The possibility of humanity being responsible for the salvation or destruction of the world is extremely depressing and completely mind-boggling.
New Age also preaches reincarnation. This is a very big part of the movement. It's defined in two ways, rebirth of the soul in another body, and the soul reappears after death in another and different bodily form. Simply put, according to New Age, we're all coming back after we die, again and again, in another form, until we get it right. It could be as a dog, or a mouse, or a snake, or a giraffe, or an ostrich. I'm not sure just what the requirements are not to have to keep coming back again. If you follow the line of Hinduism to its theological conclusion, they maintain that the highest level of reincarnation is becoming a Brahmin bull, at which point divinity is attained. Maybe then one can stop coming back. Is that supposed to be my vision of heaven, being a Brahmin bull?
New Agers worship created things rather than the Creator, maintaining there is more power in crystals, pyramids, and the like, which are creations, some of them man-made, than in God, who created the things they're worshiping. It really should be funny. We should have a good belly laugh and go on with our lives, but we can't. It's too serious. It's too frightening. It's too risky. A trend was begun in the 80s to make Dracula, vampires, Frankenstein creatures, and hobgoblins into cartoon characters. Their thinking was, if we make these satanic creatures laughable, no one will take them seriously. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen said Satan's greatest feat in this century is to destroy the belief in his very existence. We believe the same applies to New Age. We can't laugh it away because they're not laughing. They're deadly serious and the stakes are high. We could lose our church, our faith, and our souls.
How did it all begin? The New Age movement as we know it now was begun in 1875 by a woman named Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. At the turn of the century, an offshoot of her movement came into the Catholic Church called Modernism, a heresy later condemned by St. Pope Pius X in 1907. However, after staying underground for about 60 years, Modernists surfaced strongly during and right after Vatican II and are alive and well and with us today, working diligently to take over the Catholic Church with the New Age movement. We're going to attempt to the near impossible. We're going to try to break through the all-sugar-coated cover-up, through the cosmic, transglobal, universal, galactic garbage, and tell you exactly what New Age is, what its proponents are trying to accomplish, and how successful they've been.
New Age is really a generic term. It's as if all the misfits and the powers of hell have joined forces to destroy the church. It's an international network of thousands of these little factions, which form a loose coalition but a partnership nonetheless. They are well-heeled financially and politically very powerful. There are those who tell us these groups are not well-organized. We believe that they are very well-organized. They specialize in befuddlement, confusion, perplexity, sleight of hand, double-talk, and razzle-dazzle. Their philosophy, in no matter what area they choose to expound, is always on the edge of truth. They maintain their platform to be a new world order, unity, one government, one religion, one currency, and on and on. They even advocate one credit card. There goes the shopping mall, Mabel. They embrace Eastern religions, mostly Hinduism, spirituality, transcendental meditation, yoga, Buddhism, and Native American legends, supposedly 25,000 years older and older.
The Catholic Church is a perfect vehicle for a takeover. It is universal. It has a worldwide network. It literally covers the globe. We have a built-in organization that is the most encompassing in the world. Why destroy the guts? The New Ages would do to the Catholic Church what the advocates of the neutron bomb would have done to the world with the bomb. The people would have been destroyed, but the basic structure would remain intact. A priest whom we know referred to Satan and his followers as termites. It's a great analogy. For the most part, you don't ever see termites until it's too late. When your house crumbles, you know you've been attacked, no, devastated by termites, but by then it's too late. The same applies to this long-standing cult of Satan's in its latest form, its cyanide sugarcoating, its slick Madison Avenue packaging. New Age is possibly the most dangerous cult we as a church and people have ever been exposed to. Perhaps the reason is because it's the most difficult to define. It's so slithery, so cunning. Defenders of the faith throw their hands up in frustration because they just can't put down what it is. It has so many facets. It encompasses so many areas. It's coming at us from so many directions we don't know where to begin. This is their game. Make it so baffling people will not understand. They will just nod their heads and agree like so many sheep.
We find advocates of the New Age everywhere we look. There are many times we think we're experiencing the invasion of the body snatchers. Those who are supposed to be the good guys, the priests and sisters, are espousing enneagrams, witchcraft, goddesses, mother god, global unity, Hindu mantras, yoga, and on and on. They wear the right clothes. They're in diocesan offices and religious education offices. They write for Catholic textbook publishers. They teach in Catholic university. They've infiltrated parishes and seminaries. They look like religious, but they've become victims of the Satan of New Age. One of the most viable targets for New Age is the women religious of our church. They have been attacked viciously. There's a reason for that. The feminist movement in our country was crumbling. It had failed miserably. The great gurus had betrayed the rank and file. Women had given up much of what they had previously possessed with the false promise of position, influence, and stature, and had received only ridicule and rejection in exchange. The Equal Rights Amendment never got off the ground floor. The young and middle-aged career women were distancing themselves from their former master or mistresses. Anything they even remotely resembled the feminist movement was avoided like the plague. Something had to be done, or the expressions MS, Miss, and Era, and Women's Lib would fade into oblivion, much like the hula hoop and frisbee.
They set their sights on the women religious as far back as the mid-70s. There was a soft spot where a knife could easily be thrust. Satan has always been able to find the weaknesses of human nature and exploit them, and so he did in this instance. Sadly, the weakness in our women religious was innocence, but Satan could work with that. He used their naivete, a misguided feeling of poor self-worth, and turned it against his worst enemy, God. The major role for women religious from the beginning was to be brides of Christ. Their sole reason for being was to adore our Lord Jesus and turn their lives over to Him. How they went about doing this was determined by which community they entered. Each one had its own charism, but by and large, the bottom line was the same. However, somewhere along the way in our 20th century, which is a very I-centered age, the focus changed, reversed itself. It went from thee to me. Women religious have bought into some very bad press, and in the process are losing all the things they held dear, all the reasons they entered into religious life in the first place.
There is a unique brand of brainwashing going on, based more on peer acceptance than on anything tangible or plausible. It's almost as if we can see these victims, these beautiful daughters of a loving father, turn their backs on him as well as on his son. Did they choke on that first rejection of Jesus and the Father? Does it get easier? Does a time come when they can watch the tears run down his face and it has absolutely no effect on them? No remorse registers in their heart? Is there a time when their hearts turn to stone? We are saddened that any of our women in the church would feel that their contributions throughout history have been virtually nothing, that they are second-class citizens in the church, and that they don't have a viable role in the church of the 20th century. Where we seem to go towards opposite poles is the degree of the offense, the need to blame, and where to lay the blame and the remedy. Reconciliation doesn't seem to enter into the picture. Total destruction is the ultimate goal.
But here's the thing. Again, it's a small group of women trying to take advantage of a very important major component of our church, our women. But they're very effective. It's as if Satan plants one or two in each community sent there to sow seeds of dissension, and we let them do it in the name of democracy of action, of more liberal guidelines or self-realization. And the results, instead of happy, healthy, well-rounded sisters, we're seeing our sisters engaged in goddess worship, mother god, witchcraft, homosexual activities, rebellion, alienation, and just general disquietude. In an effort to bring the convents into modern times to make them more acceptable to a generation that is not used to the lifestyle of the religious, the door has been left ajar for enemies of the church to walk in. And because we are not as devious in plotting, because our agenda is one of trying to get closer to our God and our church, rather than losing God and destroying our church, we're insidiously being taken over.
We would like to ask our sisters in Christ to go back to their early years, when life was so beautiful and exciting, when Jesus was the center of their lives, when they were willing to give up anyone and anything, just like their predecessors, St. Bernadette of Lourdes and St. Therese of Lisieux, all for the love of their Lord Jesus. We'd like them to remember how it was when their relationship with Jesus was so ardent, their love so strong and personal, their focus so clear. We appeal to you, our sisters, directly. Don't let someone talk you out of this great joy. It's yours. You deserve it. Jesus wants you to have it. Don't buy into that bad press that you're only second-class citizens in the church. You are power in the church. You have been since the beginning. You always will be. Don't give it up. Don't let it be taken away from you by a malcontent. Fight for your love, Jesus, even if the person you're fighting is yourself.
Ask yourself and these gurus a question. Why? Why are they doing it? Is it really because they believe in women goddesses, or is it because they hate God? Are they manifestations of the evil one, the enemy of God? For those who tell us they don't believe in Satan and that sin is relative and hell is a state of mind, do they really believe it? Satan would like you to believe he's got nothing to do with it, that he doesn't exist, but he's got that hoof. And the hoof is pride. He's got to let you know it's him. When that happens, when you see him, when you feel him in the pit of your stomach, and you know it's him, react the way you know you should, the way you were taught. Don't let yourselves slither down into the bowels of hell.
Brothers and sisters, don't let anyone convince you that the things you learned as a child, the beautiful truths the sisters taught you in grade school and high school, are not true. A young priest, newly ordained, shared with tears in his eyes that his greatest letdown when he entered the seminary was to find out that all the stories Sister Mary Regina had told him in grade school about God, Our Lady, the angels, and the saints were all lies. We wanted to take him in our arms, hold him, protect him, and console him. They were not lies. They were true. They are true.
In New Age, one thing which stands out is the hating of God the Father. How can you hate God? His love is so unconditional, a faithful God to an unfaithful people. We make an impossible world to live in, creating man-made diseases like leukemia and AIDS, abuse our body and minds with alcohol and drugs, and then blame God? Do they hate Jesus as well? While they're denying his divinity, are they also denying his crucifixion? Are they denying his total surrender for us? I hope they are. I hope they don't truly believe that he suffered and died for us. I hope they don't believe he was mortally wounded before he ever picked up the cross. I hope they don't believe that the cross he carried and was nailed to was so big for him that they had to dislocate his shoulder to get him on it.
It's really better for him, less painful, that they don't believe all those things happened. If they do believe and still mock him, still spit at him, still question his divinity, it would be worse. It would hurt so much more if he thought the people he died for were indifferent towards him, just didn't care about him. It would be so appalling if all those people who are buying into the lies that they are disenfranchised, marginalized, and unloved knew how they were hurting him and just didn't give a damn. My God, oh my God, how terrible that would be, how terrible that is.
We believe the New Age movement is a major threat not only to our church but to our world. Take it seriously, folks. Another of Satan's greatest weapons is indifference. It's a sin that can have far-reaching consequences. There are those who are trying to warn us about the New Age movement on one hand, while others are telling us not to take it too seriously. They try to get us to reject any idea of an organized conspiracy. They actually give us the impression that if we do believe there's a conspiracy, we're paranoid. Are we overly apprehensive, or are their enemies infiltrated in our church, our schools, our banks, police departments, military establishments, and major corporations? Are we doing anyone a service, especially the innocent, by playing down the seriousness of the situation?
The battle lines are drawn. The parallels are awesome. We see armies lining up on opposite sides of the battlefield. On one side, there are Satan's soldiers seducing, enticing, tempting, and dragging innocent souls to hell. All that we have shared with you in this series is part of Satan's end time plan. He's aware the end is coming. It's glaring at us from one of the walls of the Sistine Chapel in Rome and has been since 1571. Look at the Last Judgment. It's all there.
Get up now. Walk. No, run very quickly to the nearest church. There's no more time to play Russian roulette with your soul. Penny was given a word the other morning as she awoke. It was, arm the people, prepare them for battle. Then we were given another word the same day, which affirms for us this chapter. A priest said, according to C.L. Lewis, Jesus was either lunatic, liar, or Lord. Either we stand on the side of those who call him lunatic or liar, or we stand with those who call him Lord. We love you.
We love you. Jesus loves you. Mary loves you.
Thank you for tuning in today for Bob and Penny Lord's Scandal of the Cross. For more information, call Journeys of Faith, toll free at 1-800-633-2484.